It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Welcome back to the next room. It is always a good day when I get to step into my small studio, and yes, my puppy's down at my feet. She had a play date yesterday with her buddy Enzo, so she's pretty tuckered out. So I think she's probably going to behave and just sit there quietly. Right now, she's chewing on her Nilabone. I'll tell you what, the Beautiful Dying Expo was incredible for me. I met some of the most amazing people, and you've been hearing different interviews for several of them. And this one is another connection through the Beautiful Dying Expo. Verna Fisher had a booth at the expo. And I can't remember if I went to visit her first or she came to visit me in my booth. And we got on just like we had been lifelong friends, probably because we were in another lifetime. Who knows? But Verna's here today. And what an accomplishment. This woman has just done so many wonderful things in her lifetime. She has a degree. She actually graduated summa cum laude in psychology. She has a master's in social work. She was a president's scholar. She's a life coach. She worked 12 years as a hospice social worker. Just an amazing woman and so sweet and so much fun. So welcome to the show, Verna Fisher. How are you?
I am just grinning from ear to ear. You know, I'm so happy to have met you, and I have to tell you, it was you, Jane. You are the most amazing person to reach out to people, and you reached out to me, and I was just getting started in the weekend, and so I was really just delighted to see you there.
Well, it was really fun to hang out with you and to meet all these wonderful, not like-minded, because I have met so many different people through the Beautiful Dying Expo with different varying ideas, and I just think it's fascinating. The one thing we all do have in common is that we are fans of the death and dying industry, and we're willing to open up and talk about it. So, you know, Verna, you have a heck of a resume here, but you have a business called Soul Catalyst, and the website is beautiful. Tell me how a woman who goes from being a hospice care worker and highly educated ends up with the Soul Catalyst.
Well, it's the business is Integrative Wisdom, and the product that is the result of over 12 years is the Soul Catalyst card deck.
So okay.
To clear that up a little bit. But it's really funny because having your focus being the next room, right? Mm-hmm. And conversations about connections and things of that nature. That's really how I got started in everything that I've done for the past, since 1987. So there were prompts from the universe way back when. I was a person who didn't go to school when I graduated high school. I got married, had kids. Went to work for the post office, by the way.
Hmm.
And along the way, in my new marriage, met all my husband's friends and him that had all gone to college. And so I ended up going to college as a middle-aged 30-year-old person. And I just said, I'm going to set my sight on connecting to some voice that was in the back of my head. There was something there that was telling me and moving me in a certain direction that was going to have me working with people beyond the physical world and beyond just the day-to-day. And so when I got my degree in psychology, I knew I didn't just want to work with people from a mental health perspective, so I went into social work because I knew that the environment and things of that nature have a lot to do with how we show up in the world. Along the way, I learned about things like energy work and Reiki, and all of a sudden this world of alternative medicine opened up to me. I did my thesis on what was then, back in 1997, alternative medicine. It very rapidly moved, while I was doing my thesis, which took like 2 years or whatever, from alternative to complementary to integrative. And so having done my thesis in that area, I knew that I wanted to once again work with people from a larger perspective than just the psychological perspective, from just the environmental social perspective, and move into a spiritual perspective. And that's where things got really interesting. Out of the blue, I got this message that my house back in the Long Beach, California area wasn't my house anymore. I told my husband, he goes, what? So we ended up searching, and pretty much it took over a year to find this house that we now have in Escondido. It has a little barn in the back, which is our retreat center. And working in hospice, which is what I did when I first moved here, which was now about 14, 15 years ago, allowed me to use my education and my degrees, but also that purpose that was underlying everything, to be with people from a much deeper perspective and to work with people as they were approaching this most amazing time in their life, right? Their death. Mm-hmm. And so that's how all of this came to be. My work with the dying and their families led me to realize that a lot of us are walking through our day-to-day life asleep. We think we have more time. We think everything's going to stay the same. We think that, you know, just showing up and putting one foot in front of the other, which is kind of hard, you know, right? But it gave me this purpose and this passion to say, no, we need to know more. We need to know what makes us tick. And not from a psychological perspective so much, but from that body, mind, spirit, and soul perspective. And so that's how I came to where I am today. Long story.
No, it's great. And thank you for, you know, when I clicked on the links, I went right to Soul Catalyst. I know your business is integrativewisdom.org. So if anybody is listening right now, and you like what Verna's putting down, go to Integrative Wisdom, beautiful site, by the way. And then through that, we'll get to the Soul Catalyst and we'll talk about your cards and all that. So essentially, you're using these practices, they're healing practices for the body, for the mind, for the spirit, and for the soul. And you're working with families, most notably going through change, which death is a very big change, but it's something that we're all going to experience at some point. I like what you said, that a lot of times people are just walking through life asleep, you know, not aware.
Yeah.
So what do you do when you work? Like, do you mostly have families come to you that want your guidance with grief, or is it the practice of dying a good death?
So currently everything is on hold, right?
Of course.
So really what has happened more recently over the last couple of years is it's been more about women, individuals coming and getting a little bit of a boost so that they can then go back and do all the things that women do in their life, you know. So, so much of the day to day that has to be done, and people get depleted. And so, being able to have when I'm talking about the retreat, you know, to come away, to step away from everything else, and let spirit or let divine guidance actually have a voice. Because that's a really big part of what ends up happening is we get so caught up in the practical, you know, that we forget that we have this other pipeline, that we have this other connection. And it's always there, in my belief, it's always there to guide us, and it's always there to encourage us. And so that's kind of where I'm at now. Previously, I was working with elderly and more going to see them wherever they called home, and to just be an ear, a listening ear, and just let them reminisce or let them, you know, talk in their language, because a lot of times there was dementia involved. And so then to go back and try to just encourage the family, because having an elder, especially an elder who has dementia or Alzheimer's, is so exhausting. And so just trying to give them a little bit more encouragement as well.
Okay. So you can help, and you can also teach people to plug into this unbelievable pipeline?
I can give them the, I can, so here's the funny part, right? I can give people the opening, the opportunity.
Okay.
To do them. Yeah. And so it's kind of interesting because, well, good Lord. Okay. Forgive me. You can lead a horse to water.
Mm-hmm.
But of course you cannot make them drink.
Exactly.
Each person is going to be at a different, in my belief, at a different point in their journey. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be either being led and guided to get to that place. And then sometimes it's really scary. You know, one thing I learned in doing my my clinical skills was you never take away someone's their coping mechanism. We don't take that away unless we have something else that they're ready to agree to accept. So, yeah, so I provide the opportunities, I provide the information, I do a little, that's kind of like that coaching part of it, right? You know, asking people to, you know, do they have any other perspective that they might be able to entertain? Because if people aren't ready, willing, able, and fit, what I say won't have any bearing to them because they won't understand it.
Right.
Be ready for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Boy, Verna Fisher's my guest today on The Next Room, and her website is integrativewisdom.org. And boy, I'm very, very intrigued by the Soul Catalyst card deck that you have created. And I just need to read this little bit from the website because it resonates with me like you won't believe. So you write, "I'm so proud to share my life's greatest professional accomplishment. It's the Soul Catalyst 4-in-1 system of healing, as featured in the Soul Catalyst card deck and guidebook to the cards. This project has taken me over 12 years to complete. Now, some may be appalled by this admission, but my revelation is really to offer encouragement to all of you who have visions and dreams that follow you, hound you, and won't let you rest." And thank you for that, Verna, because I am currently working on a book and I've been writing it or in the process of writing it for 10 years. And now I feel okay to say that, you know, I'm like, you know, that's a long time to be working on something, but there's collecting it and then there's letting it breathe, you know, and not having it. It needs to write itself, I guess, and just being able to tune in and have that dream and that vision and be okay with it taking a very long time. So let's talk about the Catalyst card deck.
Okay. And I love that you share, you know, that you can relate, because it is tough when you're, you know, you have something that starts to percolate and you kind of think, okay, let me figure it out. And then it's like life is always there, right? And mm-hmm. So we're taking care of people. We're taking care of business.
Sure.
We're taking care of these things. And yet, you know, it takes as long as it takes. I love that line.
Yes.
And so for me, when I realized, I didn't realize how long it had been, but I keep all my notes. I keep all my diaries or journals or whatever you want to call them. And somehow found the one that said, "Oh, I'm thinking of starting this practice, this healing tool." And I go, "Oh, I thought it was like maybe 7 years, but anyway."
Right.
So, well, yeah. So the Soul Catalyst card deck, it came because I learned so many things along this last, you know, however many years it was, when I was in school and I was working in hospice and you know, I also became a Reiki master. And so, and my thesis totally opened up the world to me as far as what is out there in abundance for us to use to live our best life. And so as I started looking at that, I wanted to try to put it in a way where people could have access to it more easily rather than to go to the book, you know, go to one book on, you know, breathing or whatever, one book on energy work, one book on how to create a mandala or how, so all of those things that are of the 52 cards in the Soul Catalyst card deck. And it just happened to break down into, I could have a regular kind of a card deck so the people that aren't really into it could actually just play cards.
Right.
have a game with it. And so 13 body cards that remind us of practices to use to help us live our best life from keeping our body healthy. The mind, 13 practices to help us be in a space with that. And I would say probably one of the most important cards in the whole deck is the personality card. Because as I studied something called the Enneagram, I don't know if you're familiar.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so that tool actually helped me make sense of many decisions and choices I had made in my life over the years. So I was like, oh my gosh, if I would have known this way back then, who knows, you know, what would have unfolded. But I didn't, so, you know, oh well. But I know now, and it helps me really appreciate learning these things as soon as we can about ourselves. And so then the other two suits in the card deck are spirit and soul. And I got the difference between spirit and soul in doing a lot of the work that I was doing within my specific religious tradition. In using the card deck, though, I took it out of all of the debate over, you know, what is the spirit, what is the soul, how many angels can fit on the head of a pen or something. You know, there was all this debate, and it's like the soul to me is just the truest, most complete part of who we are. And so, if we can get rid of all the noise and all of the judgments and all of the, you know, the mistakes and again, the judging of the mistakes that we've made or the fears that we carry, we can tap into that deeper part of who we are, that soul essence. And then as what is the, you know, we go to the grave with the song still in us. I want that, you know, I want us to bring out the depth of who we are and bring it to the world so that, you know, so that we can be more of what I believe we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Passionate, caring, loving people.
That's beautiful. Yeah, that's good. And it's a big part of, you know, being here is this path that we're learning, you know, and it's never too late. It's never too late to learn how to be more compassionate and to work on those really interesting, cool things. And, you know, facing your mortality really has a way of leveling the playing field. And realizing, you know, every day it's like, oh, okay, cool. I'm still here. Right on. Thank you. Thank you. So that's beautiful. That's a great way to put it. So through all of, you know, 2020 was crazy. Here we are in 2021. We're still in a pandemic. What have you found? Like, what kind of lessons have come to you through this very interesting time on the planet, this cosmic timeout we're having?
Oh my goodness. So what has really just been crystal clear for me is the concept of resiliency and the concept of being able to go with what unfolds rather than what I want it to be. Mm-hmm. And I've seen so many of us get so angry that what we thought was going to happen in our life, what we thought we had worked so hard for and we deserve to have it, we've been laid low. I mean, for me to, I'll just share, I binged on a Netflix series called Call the Midwife. I don't know if you've seen that one at all.
No, I have not. I heard about it. A lot of my friends watched it.
Okay. So it was set in the mid-1950s in a poor section of England. And it goes through, these are actually, you know, nurses who are going to help the people, the women, have their babies there. But they're covering life situations that were happening in that area of the world in the mid-50s. And so they had just made it through the horrific World War. They still had bombs that were going to be exploding. They were trying to get back on their feet. They'd lost their family members, all of these things. And just watching and remembering, we're not alone in what's happening to us right now. And so that's been one of the biggest things for me, is to recognize we're not being called any differently than any other generation. But I think, I don't know, it just seems like many of us got very complacent and were so comfortable that we forgot that we live in a larger system. And so for me, recognizing, and when we bring up our mortality, I learned that in hospice in that 12 years, is that I don't have one extra day guaranteed to me. I saw babies that died. I saw kids that died at 8 years old and, you know, teenagers. And so I became very aware that this day is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And so this day, in this middle of a pandemic where everything is thrown up in the air. Now, I will admit, I have not had the fear of losing a job, which I think, you know, changes so many things for people with that financial pain. But resiliency, and really, you know, if we're the ones who still have, you know, our basic needs met, and we're just frustrated because we just can't do everything that we used to do, you know, can't go and do the sports that we used to do, can't go out and go to the restaurants that we used to do, can't go see our families the way that we used to do. It's like, okay, we need to be resilient. We need to buck up. We need to, you know, have an appreciation that I do have this one moment. And that's what I've learned.
I love it.
And have really to put into place for myself. Yeah.
That's awesome. Great answer. I told you this would go fast, so don't be shocked, but we're heading down the tail end of this show. Thank you so much for being here. Verna Fisher's my guest today on The Next Room. Theintegrativewisdom.org is her website. The Soul Catalyst card deck is gorgeous and beautiful. You know, you can learn all about her. She's just a really, as you can hear, a pretty extraordinary woman. All right, Verna, so the big question. What is in the next room for Verna Fisher, or what do you intuitively either know, what do you think, or what do you hope for in the next room?
Now, even though I know that your show's called The Next Room, I've listened to you, I haven't really, you know, given that all that much thought. I guess for me, because I saw so many people at the end of their life reach out, and there was something or someone that they were holding their hands out to that I believe caught them. The other thing, when I would be with someone when they actually took their last breath, it was like an inspiration and not an exhalation, which was totally fascinating to me. And so I'm always wondering where that exhalation will be. I really don't have like a specific belief in what happens next, but I'm open to the idea that I'm going back into the ocean of all that is, and that, you know, my potential that was here with I like the idea of the rising of the wave and then me going back into the vastness of the ocean. I guess that's what I think is the next room.
I like that. That's I've never heard that one before, going back into the ocean of all that is. Good.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing. I know, you know, it's one of those. I just had a gentleman on who's all science and fact-based, and he's like, no. Nah, there is nothing. It's just over, you know, and I respect that as well. You know, everyone has a different idea, or they've been taught a certain thing, or they have a belief system in check, or an intuition about what it is. But really, do any of us honestly know until we go, right? So make the most of today, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, make the most of today. I love that, Jane.
Well, good. Well, the Soul Catalyst card deck, can you pull a, is it, do you pull a card, or is it like, how do you use your card deck?
So with the card deck, there's a couple of things that people can do. Some people are very science-based, as you shared. This is also for people of that nature, because it's specific practices, and it's simply a way to let you think, do I know about that? Like, for example, there's a card that says nourishment for your body. And so, you know, like all of the people that are, especially now, not eating that healthily.
Right.
Oh, that's a reminder. Okay.
Oh, good.
Myself, right? I'll pull one now.
Okay.
The other thing that people can do is, I like to call it practical intuition.
Okay.
So the idea that you can, it's more importantly to learn these practices and put them in place, as I like to say, before the you know what hits the fan.
Uh-huh.
If you have a practice in place, then you're already using the tools. You're not going to get blindsided mm-hmm. so easily when something happens. Hopefully you can, oh yeah, that's right, I need to breathe right now.
Mm-hmm.
I need to ground right now or whatever.
Yeah, so, it's important too.
What's that?
I said it's important to have a partner in that. You know, whether it's a friend or your spouse or your neighbor or someone that can kind of help keep you in check. You know, I've got a friend that I call her my miracle partner because we did a miracle project and it was only supposed to last 3 months. And I think we're heading into 2 years. But anyway, Verna, we're almost to the end of the show. Why don't you go ahead and pull a card? And that will be our final thoughts for the next room today.
Okay, so I did. I just pulled it. It's a mind card. Remember, there's body, mind, spirit, and soul. It's a
okay.
mind card. And it says for us to meditate.
Yeah. That's a big one. That is a big one. Okay. Well, that's what I'm going to do as soon as this show ends today. I'm going to sit quietly and do a little meditative thought.
Me too. We'll be in meditation together.
I love it. Verna Fisher, my guest today on The Next Room. She's from integrativewisdom.org. The Soul Catalyst card deck is what we were just referring to. I cannot thank you enough, Miss Verna. This has been a gas. And I'm hoping once this thing, you know, we get a handle on it and we can see each other in person, I would love to come and see your little sacred space that you have in Escondido, because I'm just down the road just a bit.
Oh, that would be so good. The space is amazing. It's truly a magical space. And so it would be even more magical with you there, Jane.
Yay. We're going to make that happen. And a shout out to Michelle Little from the Beautiful Dying Expo. Certainly without her vision for the Beautiful Dying Expo, I would never have met you. So this is pretty darn cool. So thank you to Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle. She was amazing with what she accomplished, especially this,
yeah,
this year of the virtual.
Yeah, no kidding. It was amazing. So thank you so much for listening to The Next Room. I will be back next week. And let me see who's going to be on the show. Sandy Parente is going to be joining me in the next room. Hopefully not in the next room. She'll be on the next room. I'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.